I suppose that as a parent, what struck me first was that both Gilad and Naftali were younger than my daughter, and that Eyal was just a little bit older. And that in their homes, their seats remain empty. In this case, the English word kidnapping is very appropriate because they're kids. And we know that terrible things happen among enemies. That there are the atrocities that inevitably accompany war. But that picking up a few teenagers who are hitchhiking on a usually safe road is not about war. It's about hatred. It's about violence and vengeance. In this case, the case of the kidnapping of three Israeli teenagers, one of whom, by the way, is an American citizen, not that that should matter to him, the justice of the cause, but he is, in this particular case, there has been as yet no claim of credit. No one has taken responsibility, at least not explicitly. But shortly after the Prime Minister of Israel said that Hamas was responsible for the kidnapping, a claim, interestingly, which no one in Hamas has yet denied, which was then reinforced briefly by the United Nations before they backed off, and I'll get back to the United Nations in a moment, the leader Mohammed Nazal described the kidnapping as a heroic capture, a milestone for the Palestinian people, and every day that passes without finding them is a tremendous achievement. The UN came out with a statement a few days later saying it could not confirm that they were abducted. The burned out car apparently could have been a coincidence. And it took Catherine Ashton, who's the EU's foreign policy chief, 5 days to get around to condemning the kidnapping. In case you're averaging, it usually takes her 5 minutes to condemn whatever Israel does. But that is not surprising given the current climate, because even this morning, in the New York Times, as I opened it, there was a long article about French anti-Semitism, about the Presbyterian Church voting to divest from certain corporations that supply Israel. And in fact, on the cover of the Washington Post, my brother told me yesterday, was due to come out an article, which I assume came out today, talking about the fact that Jews are starting to leave France in record numbers. My colleague, Rabbi Eliyahu Fink, who is a rabbi in Venice, wrote an article in Haaretz encouraging rabbis to put three empty chairs on the bima. I thought it was a beautiful and powerful idea, and I thank him for it. We pray that they will be filled one day. But you and I both know who it is who is responsible for this, and what kind of people they are. I think it is important to say that the head of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, has condemned the kidnapping, and that the Palestinian Authority, even according to the Israeli police, that their police are cooperating with them in search for the kidnappers, and we should just be grateful for that because, after all, far more important than political points is that the three teens be found. Having said that, however, there is spreading across the West Bank and Gaza a new three-fingered salute. That is supposed to be, of course, representative of the fact that the three are gone. And the systematic inculcation of Palestinian youth all over the West Bank as well as Gaza with the most pernicious and vicious kind of anti-Semitism certainly undermines any good efforts that the well-meaning might make that would help contribute to peace. We know that this is what we face and have faced for a long time. Sometimes I almost feel as though the memory of the Holocaust was like a girdle that held anti-Semitism in check but didn't make it go away, and then as the years passed, it could be taken off so that it could explode all across the world. Because, as you know, both from the right and from the left now, all through Europe, the levels of anti-Semitism continue to rise. And an incident like this, paradoxically, does nothing to increase the world's sympathy for Israel or to remind the world who it is that we face. And let me just suggest to you, even though you may not have been doing this in your prayers, after you're done praying for Israel, pray for the stability of Jordan too. Because there's very little left in the Middle East that isn't blowing up. And right now, all we can hope for is that the more moderate elements around Israel stay where they are and don't become as radicalized as is happening throughout the Middle East. A reconciliation is underway. You may or may not know, at least meetings are taking place between Hamas and Hezbollah. And all we need is an alliance between the Gaza Strip and Iran to make our lives even more miserable than they promised to be. It's not the place of a rabbi or a synagogue to dole out pessimism and lack of hope. But we shouldn't kid ourselves about the enemies we face or the virulence of the ideology or the immediate prospects. Or the danger that spreads throughout Israel. My close friend, colleague, frequent visitor here to Sinai Temple, Daniel Gordas, some of you get his newsletter. And he wrote about the fact that in Israel there were people who were saying, well, my God, they shouldn't have been hitchhiking, he said, but such people don't realize that we have this desperate desire that we can't quench to pretend sometimes that we're living in a normal country. That it's very hard when you have children to tell them all the time how careful they have to be. That on top of the normal parental anxiety that worries when you don't hear the door closing behind your children at night, indicating that they're home, is the realistic anxiety that the country is surrounded by enemies. And so you try to give your children a sense of normalcy, and then when something like this happens, you think, my God, was I wrong to tell them that it's okay to go out at night? Can I ever say to my kids, we'll keep you safe? The reason those three chairs are up here is not only for the children, but for their parents. For us to begin to imagine, even though we can't, and God willing never will, what it is that they're going through. The tortures that imagination can inflict on you when you don't know where your children are and are afraid where they might be. So where do we end up? Everything that Israel does wrong, everything that it does wrong, and I am not among those, as you know, who are reluctant to criticize Israel when I think it does something wrong. And I think it does a lot wrong because, unfortunately, the government of Israel is made up of human beings. And human beings make mistakes, and they can't predict the future, and they act on impulse and out of anger and out of misjudgment and miscalculation, and sometimes they just do bad things, but everything they do wrong pales in comparison to the intentions, to the cruelty, to the hatred that surrounds them. Too long a sacrifice, wrote the poet Yeats, makes a stone of the heart. And it is remarkable that the hearts of Israelis have not turned to stone. But today, they're bleeding for three teenagers, two 16-year-olds and a 19-year-old. And all we can do is bleed with them and support them and encourage them and ensure that at least inside this country where we have some influence on the political process, that we raise our voices and cast our votes for people who understand what those three empty chairs really mean. And how many more chairs there would be up there if our enemies had their way. Prayers are good. Action is better. So please, in the weeks and months to come, even if God willing, they come home safe, don't forget that image and what it means and how many people in the world would rejoice instead of weeping at those empty chairs. And know that we have to make alliances with people who still have decency left all across the world, and there are all across the world, including among Palestinians and Arabs and Muslims, there are people with decency with whom we have to make whatever alliance we can. And we have to fight with whatever strength God has given us, all of those who would make this worse, all of those who would look on the official website of Fatah on their Facebook page and see Jews portrayed as rats, taking the bait from a fishing pole. All of those who see the caricatures that appear in the European press even today. Remember that the first thing that Hillel said was, Imein ani li mili. If we don't take care of ourselves, the world will overwhelm us. Then he said, you have a responsibility to others. Our first responsibility is to support the people that want them home. And remember, he finished by reminding us now, that as threats grow, our voices must grow. And even after, God willing, they come home, or if, God forbid, they don't, we cannot forget them, what they represent, what these children have to teach us, and how strong we have to be, as our ancestors knew, just to survive. Ribono shel Olam, dear God, we pray for the safe return of our children who were taken. May this coming days see Eyal and Gilad and Naftali back home. And may you help us defend Israel against those who would attack it and those who would destroy it. And encourage the efforts of those in all sectors of life, in Israel and abroad, who will defend it, protect it, and help save it.